All right, I'm going to watch my words. The recording's in progress. Well, good evening. I was asked to share the devotion this evening, and last week our brother shared from Proverbs chapter 10 and showed us the contrast between the upright and the wicked, between wisdom and foolishness. You know, this evening's chapter also uses and continues with the same kind of contrast and the same theme in using the word but in regards to contrast. So it got me thinking about throughout the Bible how contrast is used. It reminds us that we have free will. It reminds us that we're given a choice. Because when you look at contrast, when you look at the word but, it shows that there's an option on one side and another option on another. And the question that comes down is, what are you going to choose? See, from the beginning, if you look in Genesis, we see God creating man and woman, putting them in a beautiful garden, but then gives them a choice. He says, there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then on the other side, you have every other tree you can have, including the tree of life. And we know what Adam and Eve chose, and it changed the course of history for mankind from then on. See, one common word used in regards to contrast is the word but. And that was what our brother shared last week. It's God's way of reminding us that just because evil is an option, it doesn't mean that's the only option. Not only is there evil on one side, but you have another option. And when we're saved and we're trusting the Lord and we're away from that evil option and we think about that more and more, it helps us and encourages us and motivates us to want to worship the Lord. See, during Christmas time, we're all reminded about the Lord coming down to earth. We're reminded of God becoming man. You know, one of the most popular verses around the world that a lot of people know is John 3:16. And that verse starts off with, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That word but is there to show that you're from the option of perishing to eternal life. For those that have accepted, for those that trust in what Jesus did. And then I started thinking about another verse, one of my favorite verses, which is Romans 6:23. I started thinking about how excited I am that that word but is there in that verse. Can you imagine if that verse said, "For the wages of sin is death," and then full stop, period? There would be zero hope in that statement. We would look at that verse and say, "I'm a sinner. I deserve death. End of story." But instead, you look at that verse and you say, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I am so thankful for that word and the second half of that verse, because that's what gives us hope. So look, throughout the Bible, you have words of contrast to help remind us of what's one option versus the other. So we're looking in Proverbs chapter 10 till I think it's about 20 or 22. The word but is used many times in many of these Proverbs. It's used over and over to show the contrast between wickedness and godliness, between wisdom and foolishness, And the question comes, which will you choose? Now, chapter 11 has 31 verses in it, and I don't have the time to go into each verse in detail, but I'd like to read through this chapter, and then we'll pick a few verses to see and understand what does the Lord talking to us about, and what does he want to see in our lives. So let's open up to Proverbs chapter 11, starting at verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but when with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth his way, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the treacherous will be caught by their own greed. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of strong men perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, but the wicked takes his place. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. He who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silent. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. He who is a guarantor for a stranger will surely suffer for it, but he who hates being a guarantor is secure. A gracious woman attains honor, and ruthless men attain riches. The merciful man does himself good, but the cruel man does himself harm. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. He who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life, and he who pursues evil will bring about his own death. The perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their walk are his delight. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There's one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds that is justly due, and yet it results in only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will be himself watered. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. He who diligently seeks good seeks favor, but he who seeks evil, evil will come to him. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. He who troubles his own house will inherit wind, and the foolish will be a servant to the wise-hearted. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. If the righteous will be rewarded in the earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? Well, starting in verse 1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. You know, this chapter starts off by telling us what the Lord hates. What is it that's an abomination to him? It's dishonesty. And in contrast, he tells us what brings him delight. Something that's honest and true. You know, merchants used to use two different kinds of weights when they wanted to sell or buy material or supplies. And they did it in a way to trick their customers in order for them to pay more than what they were actually receiving. You know, there's times that I go to the store and go down the produce aisle or something, and you buy something, and you see the scale that's there. You put it on there to see how much it weighs, to see how much you're going to pay. And there are times I've wondered, is like, how do I know this scale is accurate? I'm putting trust in the person who's the manager of the store or whoever's behind this, that they are an honest person. That scale is actually accurate. So I am paying exactly what I'm getting. Now, this only doesn't in regards to just stores or selling. This is also applicable to our work life, to our school life, when we're in church. How are we with others? Are we truthful? Do we bring the Lord delight in our actions? Or are we dishonest in how we interact at work, at school, at church, with our neighbors? Sometimes others might not see exactly what we're doing, but we know that the Lord sees everything. So if the Lord sees everything, does he look at our actions? And does the word abomination come to his mind? Or does the word delight come to him? We have two choices. Are we going to bring the Lord delight or abomination? Going on to verse 2. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. We've all heard the phrase, pride comes before a fall. And this verse starts to tell us that there's pride, there's a fall, and then there's shame that's involved. And in contrast to that, you have a humble person, a person that's down to earth, who limits themselves from the shame and the fall. It doesn't mean that will never happen. And I started thinking about this in a way where I can visualize this. You think about the word pride, and when you lift yourself up, when you lift yourself up with pride, you're keeping yourself higher and higher up. So when you do fall, it's a long way down. But if you are a person that's humble and down to earth, the times that you may stumble or fall, it's not going to be that shameful or that hard. Because the attitude and the mentality you have is one that's down to earth. Again, two choices here. Pride or humility. And moving into verses 4 to 7. Let's get through a couple verses. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth his ways, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the treacherous will be caught by their own greed. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of a strong man perishes. We live in a world where we treat people better based on their wealth or their status. Yeah, I was talking to someone a few weeks ago about a concert that was coming up, and people were trying to get tickets to this concert, but it was sold out. And this person mentioned he has no problem getting front row tickets at a sold out concert because of who he is and who he knows. That's the kind of world we live in. You're treating people based on their wealth, on their status. Eternity doesn't work that way. This verse reminds us that, it reminds me of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You know, you have the rich man who has all this wealth, but wasn't able to help him in heaven. See, the amount of wealth a person has doesn't come into perspective or come into when it comes to eternity. Your 401k statement is not going to help you get you into heaven's pearly gates. There's no special treatment that you can ask for. That choice needs to happen while you're here on earth. That choice needs to happen. And you look in the contrast here is the people that are clothed in righteousness, they're the ones that are avoiding the second death. For those of us that have trusted the Lord and trusted in his death, burial, and resurrection, the Lord sees us clothed in righteousness. So when he sees us that way, he sees us with access and the ability to call him Abba Father. We see the contrast between the righteous and the wicked here. The righteous will have an ideal outcome and guide at the end, but the wicked has an end with no hope, and they have an end with no hope after they breathe their last breath. Their plans and expectations, everything they were hoping for and trying to achieve, comes to an end at that moment. And jumping ahead to verses 12 and 13. He who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but the man of understanding keeps silent. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. Growing up, we were always told, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. I haven't always followed that advice, and my wife is actually looking at me and nodding right now, and I apologize for that. But God's word shows us that the ultimate desire for us to glorify, the ultimate desire for him, for us, is to glorify him. We were created to glorify God. And part of that is being a person who understands and realizes that if you can't praise or edify someone that's around you, then don't say anything at all. That is part of glorifying the Lord. And if we're created to glorify the Lord, it's the small things like this that count. See, the next verse is the same way. It talks about gossip. See, gossip is juicy, but it's not edifying. Gossip helps attract the wrong crowd, the wrong group of friends. It doesn't help build others. It helps tear people apart. Instead of being a person that no one trusts, this verse is reminding us, but be a faithful friend. Someone who knows how to be silent when it's needed. And that's the kind of testimony that we should have. And skipping into verses 16 to 19. A gracious woman attains honor, and ruthless men attain riches. The merciful man does himself good, but the cruel man does himself harm. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. He who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life, and he who pursues evil will bring about his own death. So we're reminded that our actions have consequences. It also reminds us that these same behaviors and actions will determine how other people think about us. See, a woman that's gracious and loving, that person is truly respected and honored. Someone that's cutthroat, that's doing anything and everything possible to get rich, sometimes cutting corners, and sometimes doing it with deceptive ways. But the contrast here is that true rewards for a righteous person is permanent and satisfying, whereas the riches of the wicked is temporary, and the joys may last for a moment. It reminds me of Matthew chapter 6, in verses 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What kind of mindset do we have? What kind of heart do we have? Are we storing up treasures here? Is that what we're excited about? Or are we looking forward to hearing the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and having Him praise us? It's one thing to be acknowledged while on earth. You know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But if that's all we're living for, then we're missing the picture. Looking at verses 20 and 21. The perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their walk are His delight. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. See, another contrast here also talks again about abomination and what God's delight is. See, on one side, you have a heart that's false. You have a heart that's hurtful, hateful, and wicked. But on the other side, you have someone that's truthful, loving, and blameless. See, not only are these two people viewed differently in God's eyes, the end result for them is also different. See, verse 21 reminds us that the evil person will not go unpunished, and the righteous will be delivered. Isn't that the hope that we are holding on to? That when we came out of that wickedness, we came out of that, and we're looking forward to that day where we're going to be out of this wicked world. We're going to be out of this sinful body, and to be with the Lord who delivered us and be with Him for eternity. And looking at verses 22 to 23. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Here we have to choose, how do we want to present ourselves? And what are the goals that we're striving for? You have a lovely woman who has the choice to have discretion or the choice to not have discretion. See, the Bible looks at it this way. You have this lovely woman, but then you add no discretion. It's so unattractive for God. Why would, in His eyes, why would you want to mix the two together? See, the same way we have goals and desires. And if you look at the two kinds of people, you have the righteous person whose desires are towards good. And you have the wicked person who will do, his goals are to form wrath or judgment. If you think about it this way, a person that's righteous is wanting to get ahead while also bringing up others around them and helping them move forward too. A wicked person who wants to get ahead is thinking about themselves and is willing to trample and take over, and doesn't matter who's left behind because it's all about them. So what is our desire? What is our goal? When we look ahead, is it to help encourage others as we go along to move forward together? Or is it something where it's about us? I don't care who's left behind. I just need to make it to the top. And lastly, we'll look in verses 24 to 26 and verse 30. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. There is one who withholds that is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. And then to verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. God looks at those that are generous as someone who's blessed. Now, this is not the same as preachers you might hear talking about prosperity gospel and that how you give now and you'll be blessed here. I'm not saying that God can't do that. I'm not saying that he won't do that. But that's not the motive that was behind it. See, it goes back to where your heart is. If you have the mindset to truly give, and the Lord is the one that really knows your heart and how you're doing it, he knows exactly what it looks like. It doesn't matter if anyone else sees it. See, I know there's people that serve, even in this church, who do it not for the recognition. But please understand that the Lord still sees it, and he will recognize it. It might happen here on earth, where you're blessed. It might not happen. But just know that he will not allow it to go unaccounted for. When we do that, when we have a heart that's ready to serve the Lord, ready to give whatever we have, whatever resources we have, the time we have, and we have that mindset, the Lord knows exactly what sacrifices are being made. We were reminded that you can't take your riches to heaven when you die. So why not use it while you're here on earth, while you have control of it? Don't hold on to it when you see someone else in need. When I was thinking about this passage, the most important application here is the gospel. We have a treasure that the world is longing for. We have eternal hope. And there's people perishing every single day. So when you have that mindset that you have something that the world needs, why would you sit back and not want to share it? That's where verse 30 talks about. He who is wise wins souls. Let's choose to be wise in God's eyes. Let's go out with our resources and with the gospel to win souls. And I was reading through this chapter. I was convicted. I know that I sometimes don't choose what's right all the time. I've made mistakes. There's a verse that stood out to me that helps me and encourages me. And it's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. But before that is verse 8. So if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So I could go through this whole passage and say, I could lie to myself. I could lie to the Lord and say, I'm good. The truth is not in us. But that's where verse 9 comes in. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. None of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. And I know that there's times I'm going to stumble and I'm going to choose what's wrong. But I'm holding on to the promise that I have a God that I can go to, and he's faithful and he's just, and he will cleanse me of all unrighteousness so that I'm able to get up and move forward and choose what's right next time. Let me encourage you. The choice is ours. But don't be discouraged if you fall. Get up, ask the Lord for forgiveness, because he's faithful and he's just, and choose what's right. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for allowing us to have a choice. But Lord, we ask that you would guide us in ways and give us wisdom to choose what's right. Thank you so much for being a God that's faithful and just and willing to forgive us. Lord, as we move forward, Lord, we pray that we would be children that bring you delight, that we help encourage one another, and most importantly, that we reach out to people that are lost with the gospel. As we spend this time in prayer, Lord, we pray that you would hear us, answer our prayers and our needs, Lord. But most importantly, we want to say thank you for who you are and what you've done and allowing us to be here. In your name we pray. Amen.